going to get into the word. I just want to welcome everybody to Word of Life Church. You know, this is Memorial Day weekend, and so it's a time of remembering. Remember in Memorial Day. Memorial. You know, that's memorial. Remember, that all comes from the root word from memory. And so this is a time of remembering those who sacrificed and gave themselves to assure us of the freedoms that we've been blessed with. You know, many served in wars. Many've lost limbs, and many have given the ultimate sacrifice of their life. Memorial Day is about remembering those who have sacrificed their life and died in military service in our country. And it's always celebrated annually on the last Monday of the month of May. Veterans Day is different in that it honors all who have served in the military, whether they lost their life or not, and it's observed always on November 11th. So there is a distinction between the two national holidays. Memorial Day honors and remembers those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, that they've died for our freedoms. So today, we honor and pay tribute to all men and women who have given their lives in service to this great country. You may know someone, you know, who has paid with their life, and we honor them today. In that remembrance, I also want to remind you of one who has sacrificially given of his life, one who took the beating and the scourging, as it says in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, he took the beating, he took the scourging for all of us, all across the globe. And he willingly went to the cross to pay for our sin debt so that we could be free from Satan's bond. And so Jesus died so that we could be free. Remember, freedom comes at a very high price. It's not free. There is a cost. At the end of the message, we will be partaking of communion together. So please have your communion elements ready. It doesn't have to be grape juice or bread. The power of communion is not in the elements. It's in the remembering what those elements stand for. Okay. So, you know, it's times like these that we've been experiencing these last several months that remind us how precious our freedoms are. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, freedom to go wherever you want, whenever you want, and with whomever you want. Freedom to operate your own business. Freedom to provide for your family's needs. Freedom to gather to worship. We've seen how easily those freedoms can be taken away from us. How precious liberty is. Our president this week has declared houses of worship as essential. I praise President Trump for the bold and honest declaration. We had, you know, Word of Life, we're in total agreement with him, and we're making plans for a safe and very soon reopening. We're coming out of this shut-in mode, but we will do it safely. This is our 11th Sunday of having our worship service over the airways, but that will, I believe, soon be coming to a close. I want to encourage each one of you to hang in there. I know this has seemed like a very long time, but our area will be very soon moving from the red area on the COVID chart into the yellow. So we are coming out of this. Be encouraged. We have a few things, as Gary said, to do to our building to prepare it so that we've done all that we know to do to have it ready. But be encouraged. Return those questionnaires. We want your feedback. So, well, over these shut-in services that we've had, our messages have followed a central theme. It's been a common theme. And we've been looking at individuals in Scripture who have faced challenging situations in their lives too. And we see how they responded, how they got the victory, you know, how God worked in their lives, and how he was faithful to them in the process. And last week, we looked at King Jehoshaphat. He was in a crisis situation, and we saw how God intervened for him. We saw that in 2 Chronicles, that was in chapter 20. And in that chapter, we saw the emphasis that God placed on seeking him in prayer and being obedient to what he says, especially in a crisis situation. And we saw God's faithfulness. We saw that in every message that we presented during this these weeks of being shut in. Would God do any less for us? Absolutely not. He also emphasized the importance of his prophets and our response to them. If you remember what King Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 20:20, he told the people there, he said, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall prosper. You shall be established. Believe in the prophets, and you shall prosper." And so last week I shared some of the prophecies from Chuck Pierce, Tracy Cook, and also from Kat Kerr. And, you know, those prophecies encourage me. They tell me that this virus didn't take God by surprise, and he's got a plan. So we don't need to be fearful. We do need to use wisdom, but we don't have to be in panic mode or be in fear. We need to trust God. He will be faithful to us in this process. I'd like to share another prophecy that was aimed at this particular time that we're in now. But this prophecy was given and recorded 34 years ago. The prophecy was given by David Wilkerson. He was a pastor and a prophet of the Times Square Church in New York City. He's in heaven now, but he's been very respected for his accuracy in prophecy. This is the prophecy that he gave back in 1986. He said this: "I see a plague coming on the world, and the bars and the church and the government will shut down." 1986 was this prophecy. "The plague will hit New York City and shake it like it has never been shaken. The plague is going to force prayerless believers into radical prayer and into their Bibles, and repentance will be the cry from the man of God in the pulpit. And out of it will come a third great awakening that will sweep America and the world." Wow. How about that for prophecy? That prophecy has been circulating on the internet more recently because many believe we are seeing it now in fulfillment, these, you know, some 34 years later. David Wilkerson said he saw a plague affecting the world. You know, this coronavirus, it spread all around the globe very rapidly. He said that there would be a shutting down of bars, churches, and government. What have we been experiencing these last couple of months? He said the plague would hit New York City and shake it like never before. Well, New York City has had the greatest impact of the virus in our country. They've had the largest number of cases and deaths, followed secondly by New Jersey. And I believe because of our proximity to both New York and New Jersey, I believe that's why we've been in the red for as long as we've been in the red. But we are coming out and we're going into the yellow. But he also said that this would bring about a great awakening, that people would go into radical prayer, that repentance would be preached from the pulpits, that people would be drawn to their Bibles. You know, I remember seeing that picture. I'm not sure who sent it to me. It was a picture of shelves, either at a Walmart or a Target, that used to have Bibles on them. And those shelves were empty, you know, like the hand sanitizer shelves and like the toilet paper shelves, the Bibles that were being picked up. And God, you know, people were seeking God. I believe many are seeking God like never before. My dad called recently, just this week, and he wanted to know what's a great awakening. He wanted to know what that was. You know, I've had many people contact me and ask me a lot of questions during this time. Lucy shared an awesome testimony with me last night. Someone in her family, one of her relatives, just accepted Christ and is on fire and is sharing the gospel with everyone. So good things are coming out of this shaking, guys. But this Dave Wilkerson, this guy who prophesied all that, he was the same man who prophesied that the Bakers, remember Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, they had the PTL ministry. This was the same man that prophesied that their ministry would fall. And this is what they said. He said this: within 12 months of the date of this letter, the judgment of God will fall on PTL. You are fornicating with brick and stone. Flee now and repent. Bats will fly through the empty building. And exactly 1 year later, the scandal that involved Jim and Tammy Baker was published, and that ministry fell fast, if you remember that. Jim Baker has since repented, and he's been restored. But this was another proof of accurate prophecy. And John Mark Poole said that this is the year of the prophet. 2020 is the year of the prophets. So the accuracy and the fulfillment of the prophecies from God's prophets encourages me that this virus did not take God by surprise. He's known about it all along. You know, he's omniscient. He has perfect knowledge of all things. 1 John 3:20 says that God knows all things. He's known about it for a long time. You know, this is the year of the prophets. This is the year of the prophets. So I want to share another prophecy that was just spoken last Sunday. Someone sent this to me. This was just spoken last Sunday. You may have heard of this gentleman. His name is Hank Kuhneman. The prophecy is very timely and is very encouraging. Hank Kuhneman and his wife, Brenda, they pastor a church in Omaha, Nebraska, called Lord of Hosts. And they're national and international speakers. They've been on Sid Roth's program several times. They're well respected. But basically, what Hank was saying was this. I'll paraphrase a little bit here. He said that God will reveal himself in a powerful way. Nations will be filled with his glory. He said this: those who speak in the media say that this is the new normal that we have right now, that everything is going to remain like this for the future, that's the way it is right now. But God says this. He says, but what I have planned is greater, magnificent, and jaw-dropping. Greater, magnificent, and jaw-dropping. Those are God's plans. He said this, "With great light and great force, I will release my hand on this earth. There will be shaking. I'm bringing many forth." Then God says this. He says, I have given people opportunity to repent, and they have not. They have hardened hearts. They could walk away, but did not. He said, I will stand in a place in the United States, and I will establish my righteousness and see that justice reigns. God's got a plan, church. He's got a plan. There's quite a bit more to that prophecy that Hank gives. He talks about things happening in Russia, in Australia, Venezuela, North Korea, China, and the United States. And when he mentions the United States, he says this, but United States, listen carefully. For your summer months shall be very unusual months. The enemy will seek to hold on. He will seek to bring frustration. But what I have planned for the earth at this time, through the summer months and through the fall, is to be historic. But I need something. I need the prayers of my people in a way that you have not prayed. The greater you pray, the more consistent that you pray, the greater the acceleration and the immediate release of what must be brought to justice and what must come that shall be historic in nature. Therefore, he says, keep your eyes upon Israel, for a conflict will seek to arise that for a moment would cause those who do not understand that I have gathered the prayers of those who have prayed for the peace of Jerusalem, and so I shall uphold it. I shall surround it and protect it on every side, says the Spirit of God. But there is an enemy who hates what shall be brought forth. The expansion, the increase, even of territory and borders too. But I stand over you, apple of my eye, and I will bring to you what I have promised, and let this be a sign to the earth of what I will do. Keep your eyes upon Israel through the summer and the fall. He said that there will be interesting times, miraculous indeed. Church, God is totally aware of everything that's been going on. He knows everyone's hearts. He's given people the opportunity to repent and walk away from their evil ways, but their hearts are hardened. His righteousness shall be established, and his justice shall reign. I don't know all of God's plans, but he does, and I trust him. I am encouraged. You know, God is in this thing, and he will prevail. But there is something spoken in that prophecy that God says he needs. He needs the prayers of his people. God needs our prayers. That prophecy indicated that God gathers our prayers. The scriptures indicate that our prayers accumulate. The book of Revelation reveals that there are gold bowls in heaven where our prayers are stored. Not one bowl. It's plural. It's bowls, plural. I want to look at Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. It says that when Jesus had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Our prayers are stored in golden bowls. And then in Revelation 8, chapter 8, This is what it says in verses 3 to 5. It tells what happens with those prayers. Verse 3, then another angel, having a gold censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with the fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So according to these scriptures, God takes our prayers. He mixes it with fire from his altar, and he releases his power. That's the same power and fire that God released on Mount Sinai when Elijah was praying, you know, and that fire burned up the soaking wet burnt sacrifice, the wet wood. It was drenched with the water. It burned up the rocks and all the water that was in the trenches surrounding the altar in the victory over the prophets of Baal. You can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 18. The prophets of Baal had no power. Their God was absent, but the fire of God fell powerfully. That's the same power that fell at Pentecost and sat on each of the people in that upper room who had been praying and waiting. They've been praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit to be released. That released, you know, these things that are released from the spirit realm, they affect our natural realm. That verse said noises and thunder, lightning, and earthquakes. I want to read Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to start at verse 2. It says, and suddenly, be ready for a suddenly, church. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, those people were praying and they were waiting, and God's power fell like fire. Tongues of fire. By the way, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, so we'll be celebrating that next Sunday. And that was when the beginning of the church, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. That was the beginning of the church. So, do you remember when Paul and Silas? Remember when they were in jail? They were praying and they were singing at midnight. You know, and what happened? You know, all of a sudden there was an earthquake, and their chains fell off and the jail doors opened up. You can read about that in Acts chapter 16, that the power of God was released. God wants our prayers. He accumulates our prayers and he mixes them with fire from his altar, and he releases his power when the timing is right. He has a plan, church. So we can pray. And I believe the word that you got today, Nita, was right in line with this message. I believe that prayer also includes repentance for our country. I believe it's to include personal repentance, like we've never prayed before. And so, you know, when I think about prayer and challenges that people had in Scripture, one that I think about is Daniel. You know, the messages that we're going through, they reveal different people in the Bible who've had, you know, some challenging situations and how God responded. Well, Daniel was one of those who faced a very challenging situation in his life, especially in the area of prayer. If you remember, Daniel and his three Hebrew friends were taken captive by the Babylonians as teenagers. They were to be trained in the ways of the Babylonians to be put into the king's service. So they were trying to convert them to Babylonian ways and customs. The Babylonians worshipped pagan gods, but those four Hebrew boys, they chose to remain faithful to their God, the creator of the universe. And so Daniel was, he was supernaturally enabled by God to interpret the king's dream. When the Babylonians king, when his magicians, when his, the sorcerers, when the astrologers, weren't able to do that. And so that put Daniel into a place of respect and authority. And, the king honored Daniel for his wisdom. So Daniel was favored by King Nebuchadnezzar. He was able to interpret his dreams accurately. He was able to interpret the handwriting on the wall for his son, King Belshazzar. And then also he had favor with King Darius. So Daniel had been promoted to the third highest position in Babylon. And then under King Darius, Daniel excelled so much in his duties as one of the administrators that the king was actually considering to put Daniel as head over the whole kingdom. Well, if you remember, that didn't go so well with the other administrators. They were jealous, and so they devised a plan to take Daniel down. And so they couldn't find anything wrong with Daniel, so they focused on his religion. They knew that Daniel was faithful to his God, that he prayed daily, openly, on the top floor in his window. And so they coaxed, or I should say they tricked King Darius to issue a decree that would forbid prayers to any God other than to the king for 30 days. And that that penalty for disobeying the king's decree would mean being thrown into the lion's den. That's an interesting position to be in, Either compromised your faith in God, or you can live. Compromise your faith in God, you won't be thrown to the lion's den. But if you stand in faith with your God, you'll be killed. That's a crisis situation. But Daniel remained faithful to God. He knew that his life was in danger. But I want to go to the book of Daniel, and we're going to read from Daniel chapter 6. If you want to get your Bibles and follow along with me, I'm going to read the story. I haven't taught the story of Daniel since I was teaching kids in our church a few years ago. But it's an awesome story, and it deals with prayer, which is, I believe, where we are today. So Daniel chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 10. The king had already made the decree. The governors and administrators had already tricked him into making this decree. Verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, the decree was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went up before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. You can't change it. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Verse 14 of Daniel 6. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his ring. And verse 18, now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. He couldn't eat. And no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Have you ever had a night like that? And verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed. He believed in his God. Verse 24, and the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, and this is powerful, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So Daniel, even knowing that staying true to God, his life would be threatened, but he refused to compromise his faith in God, even under the intimidation of the kings and the rulers there. He remained steadfast and he was committed to God. That was his custom, you know, to pray three times a day openly. In that upper room, you know, right in the window. he didn't change his plans, and he didn't try to hide his faith, you know. And that's how the wicked governors and administrators were able to see that he was, you know, boldly in disobedience to the decree that they had tricked the king into declaring. They had manipulated him. And so the king, you know, was very disturbed at having to throw Daniel, you know, this was his favorite administrator, to the lions, but a king's decree is the law. And so he wasn't aware of the conspiracy that was going on there, but God was faithful. He sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. And then those governors and those administrators, they got what they deserved. And sadly, not only them, but their wives and their children suffered as well. God doesn't miss a thing. He knows all that goes on behind the scenes. He's not sleeping. And he's looking for those who will be faithful in prayer, to be consistent in prayer, no matter what is going on around them. You know, he'll bring us through. I want to encourage you today, church. Daniel didn't stop praying when the going got tough. He was a man of integrity and of great faith. He did not allow himself to get shaken in that crisis. He trusted God. And, you know, he had three Hebrew friends that faced another crisis when they were thrown into a fiery furnace, you know, for not bowing down, you know, not worshiping, you know, another god. That was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they remained steadfast too. They trusted God in the middle of that crisis. They were willing to risk their lives if need be, just to remain faithful to God. And God was faithful to them. Church, we're coming out of this pandemic. God will have his way. We serve a mighty God. Not only one who saved Daniel in a time of crisis and his three Hebrew friends, but he sent his son to save the entire world. This is Memorial Day weekend, and we honor the men and women who died for our freedoms. We thank God for them. And I also want to give honor to the one who died for us, from sin, from death, from hell. I said earlier that we would take some time to partake of communion together. So please gather your elements as we remember the one who gave his life for us so that we could be free. Communion is about remembrance, remembering what Jesus has already done. So take some time to prepare your hearts. Father, you sent your only begotten Son to pay for the sins of the whole world. Thank you for supplying for us what we couldn't. Jesus, you paid the ultimate sacrifice. Your sinless, spotless blood has allowed us to overcome the enemy who desired to steal and kill and destroy from us. But you, Jesus, you have given us eternal life by the shedding of your blood and by our acceptance of your payment for us. So, Jesus, we thank you for loving us so much that you went to that cross willingly. We declare that through your blood, we are the righteousness of God, that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we will live with you forever. In Jesus' name.